Hi everyone, listen to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 174 for Mother's Day, May 9th, 2011. In this week's podcast, our guest speaker, Pastor Ed Cortez, will be sharing his message titled, A Priceless Woman, A Treasured Wife, and A Wonderful Mother. Enjoy.
With that beautiful song, let us look to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, indeed, Lord, no one ever cared for us like your son Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, so that we may have life. Lord, thank you for your love and your compassion, Lord God, this morning, because we can sense it. We can feel it, O Lord, in this very sanctuary, O God. Thank you, Lord, that you look upon us, Lord, with an everlasting love, O God. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We just praise you, O God, this morning. Lord, may you speak to us through your words, O God, as we listen to your spirit, O God. Lord, we commit this time unto you, into your hands, O Lord. I commit to you this message, as well as the messenger, O God, this morning. Use me, Lord, to deliver your message powerfully, O God, for your people this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I would like to speak from the scripture verses that were read to us by our dear sister this morning in Proverbs chapter 31. I know our time is a little bit late, but I will try to compress everything here. Proverbs 31. This is a very wonderful Proverbs. Every Mother's Day, I know a lot of pastors, preachers would speak from this chapter because it speaks so powerfully to us and to all the mothers. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10, if I could just read this one more time, it says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. Verse 14, she's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. Verse 19. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do novel things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." Wow, what a beautiful Proverbs. I'm always blessed when I look into this chapter and meditate upon the words of this wonderful Proverbs. Just last Friday, I attended a beautiful retirement ceremony for one of my fellow chiefs. He is senior chief, Curtis Washington. And it was a beautiful ceremony. He spent 26 years in the United States Navy, and he retired just last Friday afternoon. And we attended the ceremony. It's a beautiful ceremony because it was filled with spirituality in it. There was prayers offered, and there were also words of encouragement from a pastor that spoke that day. He came out with a beautiful program, and in this program, there is a wonderful tribute to the mothers, specifically to Navy wives, Navy mothers. And if you would bear with me, I just want to read this because it's such an important piece, for Mother's Day. The title of this, it says, Ode to the Navy Wife. Now, you know, this is all for the mothers. The Navy wife, like her civilian counterpart, must keep house, wash clothes, and shop for groceries. Like any other wife, a Navy wife takes an active part in the local and civic activities of her community, such as church, scouting, and PTA. But that's about where the similarity ends. The Navy wife is a rare and unique breed of woman. She has many good opportunities that other wives do not have. She also has responsibilities and hardships heaped upon her that other wives couldn't cope with. It seems as if ship or squadron departures suddenly trigger gremlins into action that disrupt normally well-run households. The household appliances or the family car always seems to wait until the Navy man leaves on a deployment to break down. And the children suddenly develop problems that just did not exist when Dad was home. Yes, the Navy wife is unique in that she is a housewife, a mother, a father, and family manager all in one. She also plays an important and needed role in her husband's career in the Navy, whether it be short-term or lifetime career. Her attitude toward and her understanding of her husband's part in the Navy can be a liability or an asset to him and our Navy. How does the Navy wife do it? Simply, she understands her role as a Navy wife, her inherent responsibility to other Navy wives, and that she is indeed a part of the Navy. She feels the pride of belonging to the Navy team and recognizes that she too is a representative of the Navy and the United States, just as her husband is. There is no other woman in the world like the Navy wife. She is indeed unique. She is indeed more. Mrs. Catherine M. Cortez, we salute you. For without you, this great Navy of ours could never possibly be what it is today. So I kind of changed the name there to just honor my wife, you know, Mrs. Catherine Cortez. It was about 6 years ago when we went back to San Diego. It was November of 2005. I just checked on board the USNS Mercy. And then somebody came to me and said, we are going to deploy in about 5 months. You know, when I came home that day, I hesitated to tell my wife that we are going to deploy. Because at that time, she kind of was just about 4 years old. Adrian was barely, I mean, he was just 1 year old, you know. And I hesitated breaking the news to her that we're going on deployment. We're going to Asia, we're going to Indonesia, Australia, Singapore, and you know, you name it. And they will be left by themselves. I couldn't bear the thought to share that news to her. That was in November 2005. You know, weeks passed by, and then I mustered the courage, the strength to just, you know, I cannot keep this any longer because sooner or later she will find out. So I said, wife, my love, you know what? We're going to deploy in about 5 months. And, you know, she gave me that look, that worried look. And we began to pray. She began to pray. She began to just like call upon heavens, God, do something, Lord. Let not this deployment push through. God, make him stay, oh God. Like, you know, just do something. January 2006 came. She had a pregnancy test. And we found out that she was pregnant with twins. And here I was, going on deployment about 3-4 months down the road, back in January. She could not believe it herself. I mean, I could, well, you know, my first reaction is, hallelujah, thank you, God, for twins, you know? But she's like, she told the nurse, are you sure it's twins? Can we do a second test? But, you know, for me, it's like, you know, God, thank you for the blessings, you know? And here I was, getting ready to deploy. And she was just found out that she was pregnant with twins. She already has Shekinah and Adrian. We already have the two of them. And here, she's on a family way for another two. So we bombarded heaven with prayers. God, you know, Lord, you know, please stop this deployment. God, I need to stay behind so that I can help my wife, you know, throughout, you know, her pregnancy. So weeks passed by, months passed by. On April the 24th, I'm not mistaken, I think April the 24th, the 26th, I left. We had to deploy. God did not answer the prayer of me not, you know, pushing through. And they were on shore, and, you know, they bid me farewell. And that was one of the most heartbreaking experiences that I ever had in my life, to see my family, you know, as we were departing, you know, going on deployment. You know, she was by herself for about 3 or 4 months until her parents, my in-laws, came to help her. But she was by herself. She took care of the kids. She went by herself to her appointments, to the doctors. I mean, carrying these two kids, active little kids, and, you know, doing all this normal, regular tests. And, you know, my wife, when she gets pregnant, I mean, it's no joke. The first 3 months, I mean, it's just excruciating pain. I mean, she would be nauseated every morning, and she would be throwing up every morning, every evening. It's hard for her. But you know what? Through it all, she was able to endure. She was, you know, the grace of God was so real in our lives, our family, in her life, that she was able to persevere and do it without me. And that's the kind of mothers that we have, I believe, in the congregation this morning. That's why, mothers, I look up to you. I mean, all the sacrifices and all the hard work that you do is amazing. That's why Proverbs 31 gives us a picture of what a priceless woman, a treasured wife, and a wonderful mother is. And this is the title of this message: a priceless woman, a treasured wife, and a wonderful mother. If you look at, you know, from verses 11 to 19, the description of a priceless woman, a treasured wife, and a wonderful mother is that she is a faithful woman. Look at verse 11. It says, her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. You know, even when I went away for an extended amount of time on deployment, I had full confidence in my wife. I trusted her. That's what it says in verse 11. Her husband has full confidence in her, because I know that by the grace of God, she's going to make it through. I know that even though I'm far away, I'm in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, I'm on the shores of Indonesia, I'm in the waters of Philippine Sea, I know that my wife will make it through. I know that I have the full confidence in her, because she is a faithful woman. I know that she is a godly woman. I've been away from home many, many times. Matter of fact, when we were in San Diego, after I came back from deployment, I had to go to Norfolk, Virginia, 1 week at a time, 3 times. But you know what? I have such confidence that she will be faithful to me. I have the trust in her. Even when I was away, you know, far, far away from them, out there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, when I make that phone call, she will answer. Even in the middle of the night, she will answer. She would, they would send me cards. Shekinah and Adrian, I kept those cards that they sent me. My wife sent me those beautiful cards. And you know, I trust in her. I have confidence in her. And that's what verse 11 says. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. He knows he can trust her. Her life goal is to do him good. She is faithful in her daily duties. Verses 13 to 14, it says, she is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. I mean, all of you mothers out there, you are hardworking. You are sacrificing all the time. I mean, you know, my wife, she goes to work part-time, but it's actually full-time. She would bring the kids over to the parking lot in front of the Navy Exchange in North Chicago, because I get done with my work at 4:30 in the afternoon. And then I would meet them at the parking lot, and she would just toss the kids to me. Well, not literally. You know, she would transfer the kids to my car so that she can go to her work. And she would be at her work at around 5 in the evening. And she would be done by about 11:30. And then she will travel from her work to our home about 35, 40 minutes. So she would arrive home at around 12:15 early morning. And then she has to get up bright and early at about 5:30, about 6 in the morning, just to get the kids ready to go to work. I mean, to go to school. Bible says, she's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. You know, when I look at these passages, I also think about my mother-in-law. You know, my mother-in-law will never rest until that last pot, the last pan is clean. The last grease has been taken out of the dishes. You know, I always tell her, Mom, you know, go get some rest. You know, you're done here in the kitchen. And she would tell me, no, I'm not done yet. There's still so much more to clean. And, you know, she, a hardworking woman. I take my hats off her because I observe her life. You know, my late father-in-law, Pastor Montejo, I mean, you know that he is an evangelist. Back when they were still in the Philippines, Pastor Montejo would leave them. And Pastor would go to Europe. He would go here in America and do revivals and evangelistic work. And Pastor Montejo would leave them for months. Matter of fact, one time he left them for about 10 months. Can you just imagine? 10 months, Pastor Montejo was doing the work of God, and my mother-in-law, she is left by herself to tend for her children. And she did it. I asked her, how did you do it? Well, it's part of being a mother. It's part of being a mother. I mean, she was able to raise her daughters up, her sons. Kathy, my wife, is a registered nurse. Gailin in Stockton is a occupational therapist. Selwyn is currently in Bible school right now, preparing to become a pastor and minister. Boyet, you know, my father-in-law used to say, you know, they're all professionals. Because Boyet is also a professional because he's a professional driver. He always makes a joke, okay? Boyd is here in America, and, you know, he has a family of his own in Stockton. So God has blessed my mother-in-law and her children, And I'm so glad, I'm so thankful to God that I'm a part of that family. Because the Bible says it's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark, and she provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. What else? She is a caring woman. She is a caring woman because if you look at verses 20 to 25, it says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed, and she is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me in 2 Kings. Let me tell you this wonderful illustration of what a caring woman is, a priceless woman, a treasured wife, and a wonderful mother. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, you will read the story of a Shunammite woman. One day, in verse 8, chapter 4 of 2 Kings, one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. So this is the story of the Shunammite woman who sends the need of the prophet Elisha. She sends that the prophet Elisha has a great need, and that is a place to stay. And she sends that he is a holy man of God. I mean, she's a very sensitive, she's a well-to-do woman. At the same time, she's very sensitive to the needs of the people around her. Because, you know, if you're not sensitive to the needs of the people or the prophet Elisha, I mean, you would not be able to think of something creative to do for the prophet. If you look in verse 9, she said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table. You know, she saw this holy man of God, Elisha, and she provided food for him. And also, she thought about why not give him a place to stay, because he's a holy man of God. I mean, you know, there are days and nights that this man of God did not have a place to stay. And so why not renovate our house and build another room? You know how much it's going to cost you in your own homes if you add another room? How many of you have done that before? You added another room in your house. You renovated. I mean, in today's economy, that's probably about 20 grand, right? Just to build another room in your home. But this is exactly what the Shunammite woman did. She had another room built in her house just to accommodate the prophet Elisha. Remember, in Proverbs it says, a godly woman, a priceless woman, a treasured wife, a wonderful mother is somebody who cares for the needy. The Shunammite woman exemplifies that picture. I mean, building a new room, an addition to an existing home will cost you money. And it cost the woman some money. There was no $5 offering in the offering basket. It cost her a lot. But because of her sensitivity, because she wanted to honor the man of God. You know, if you receive the man of God in your home, you will be blessed. Okay? I don't say this because, you know, I'm a man of God, but you know what? You know, I belong to a family of pastors. My dad is a pastor. And I have seen when I was growing up, I mean, there are so many visitors, pastors, ministers that would come to our homes. And my mom would, you know, open up our house and make sure that they have a place to stay. And you know what? As a result of that, we have been blessed. We have been prospered by God. If you look at the story of the Shunammite woman, she was blessed by God because of her gesture to the prophet. If you look into the story, you will find out that this woman is childless. She did not have a son. But because of what she did to the man of God, God has blessed her with a son. I mean, this is a very interesting story. Because there was a time when the son died. And the Shunammite woman brought her son to the prophet. And the prophet laid hands on the son. And he was able to be revived. The prophet Elisha, through the power of God, brought her son back to life. See, there's always a blessing. You know, when you care for the needy, when you focus on unfortunate people that need help, and I'm telling you, there are so many people around us that are needy, that are helpless. Even back home in the Philippines, I mean, there are so many poor. You can see them on the streets of Metro Manila begging for money, begging for food. You know, since we are here in the great nation, in this great nation, the United States of America, God has blessed us with so many financial resources. God has blessed you with so many wonderful jobs that you have right now. It's time to give back to the needy. Amen? Because that is the picture of a priceless woman, a treasured wife, and a wonderful mother. She cares about the needs of the poor. She reaches out to the needy. She prepares for any future difficulty facing her family. Because if you look back in Proverbs, it says, verse 20, it says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she must be from Illinois. This woman must be from Illinois. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Wow, she provides for her family. She prepares for any future difficulty facing her family. She makes sure her children are clothed for in winter. She sees that her home is an attractive place to live. And she also cares about her husband's reputation. Third point I want to bring to you this morning. My last point is this. She is a wise woman. Because in verse 26, if you look in verse 26, it says, she speaks with wisdom. And faithful instruction is on her tongue. If you would like to go to 1 Samuel 25, there's another beautiful, amazing story here about a woman, a mother by the name of Abigail. Remember the story of Nabal? When David and his men were running away from King Saul because King Saul wanted to kill David. So David was running away from King Saul because King Saul wanted to kill him. And so David and his men found themselves in the wilderness where Nabal's shepherds and flocks were there throughout the day and throughout the night. And David and his men did not touch them. They protected these shepherds and their flocks by day and by night. I mean, they showed great favor to the people of Nabal. They protected them from terrorists, you know, from people that would steal their flocks. So they cared for the men, for the shepherd, for the flock of Nabal. Then one day, David sent his men to Nabal and said, go to Nabal. He told his men, go to Nabal and, you know, ask for some food. Maybe because of what we did, the generosity that we shown him by taking care of his flocks and not touching his men, maybe Nabal would give us something back. You know, maybe food, because you know we don't have any food. And so David's man went to Nabal and asked him if he could provide some meal, some food for themselves and for David. And you know what Nabal said? Nabal said, "Who is this David?" Nabal refused to recognize the good deeds of David and his men. Instead, Nabal said, "Who is this guy David? I don't know him. I'm not going to give him anything." And so David's men went back to him and reported everything that Nabal said to them. And you know what? When David heard their story, David was furious. I mean, he was furious because, you know, he was thinking to himself, "We did this guy favor. We showed him generosity by taking care of his flocks and guarding them by night and protecting his people. And in return, he just rejected us, did not provide anything for us." And David said, "God forbid if by morning there's a single male that's going to be alive in Nabal's household." David threatened to go out and kill Nabal and every male in his family, in his household, because he was furious. He was angry. And so David assembled 400 of his men. 200 stayed behind just to take care of their families. But 400 of David's men were with him, ready to carry out this order to kill Nabal and every male in his household. And you know what? Abigail got wind of that. And if you look at in 1 Samuel chapter 25, in verse 3, it says, "His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. But her husband, a Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings." She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. Remember, Proverbs says she is a wise woman. It says she opened her mouth with wisdom. And so, when Abigail found out that David was about to attack Nabal and all of his household, intending to kill every male in his household, Abigail went to meet up with David. In verse 18 of chapter 25 of 1 Samuel, it says, "Abigail lost no time. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seas of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs." You know, a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. You heard that phrase before? You know, this is what Abigail did. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Verse 20, "As she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending toward her, and she met them." David had just said in verse 21 of chapter 25, "It's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the desert so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, now listen to this, "My Lord, let the blame be on me alone. My Lord, let the blame be on me alone. Please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. May my Lord pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name is Fool, and folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the man my master sent. She continued in verse 26. Now, since the Lord has kept you, my master, from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, may your enemies and all who intend to harm my master be like Nabal. And let this gift which your servant has brought to my master be given to the men who follow you. Wow, what a wise woman. I mean, if she did not act quickly enough, there would have been bloodshed. Nabal would have been killed along with all the male in his household. But because of the intelligence, because of the wisdom, because of the quick thinking act of this woman, Nabal and all of his household, his male, his children, servants, relatives, they were all spared because of this one single act of this woman, Abigail. And she did this for a purpose. Because if you look in verse 28, same chapter, chapter 25 of 1 Samuel, please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master, because he fights the Lord's battles. Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live. Again, you missed it. Let me read that back. Please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord will make certainly, for the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master. You know, David was a future king. If he would have carried out his threat to kill Nabal and all of his all the males in his household, he would have smeared his reputation. He would have lost his credibility. He would have sinned against God so greatly for killing innocent people along with Nabal. And Abigail knew that. She prevented David from carrying out such an evil act because of her wisdom, because of her intelligence. Amen? Revenge belongs to the Lord. I will avenge, says the Lord. If you read on the story about Nabal, Nabal suffered a stroke. And he died. So the book of Proverbs says she is a wise woman. Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mothers pursue wisdom. God has granted you, God has gifted you with wisdom already. Keep pursuing it. And the way to pursue it is to fear the Lord. Is to have a sense of awe and wonder to the God that we serve. To fear the Lord means to stop sinning, to avoid evil. Because if we fear God, we would not dare displease Him. We would not dare live a life that is not right in His sight. That is what fearing God is. And may God instill in us His fear, because that will enable us to truly live a godly life. Because you know what? If you don't have the fear of God in your life, you will just keep on sinning left and right, with no fear of consequences. But if there is a sense of fear of who God is, of His power, of His majesty, of the magnitude of God, the more that we will live a life that is holy, that is righteous before God. What is the conclusion? In verse 28, go back to Proverbs 31. It says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Wow, what a blessing. Mothers, don't you want this? Don't you just love to hear your children come to you and say, Mom, you're a blessed woman. You're a wonderful woman. We honor you. We esteem you. Because you are a woman full of wisdom, full of compassion,
You're a faithful mom to us. This is also a message for the men, for the fathers as well. The Bible says in the last verse I read, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Let this be an encouragement to all the mothers. Look at this beautiful chapter. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to make you a priceless woman, a treasured wife, a wonderful mother through the power of the Holy Spirit living and working in your life. Please stand with me.
And that was Pastor Ed Cortez on his message titled, A Priceless Woman, A Treasured Wife, and A Wonderful Mother. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC. That's 3392. You can visit us online on our website, ffwcchicago.com. And our email is contactus@ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.